Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Hey, I'm Jimmy Corboni. I'm the host of Beer Sessions Radio. We are kicking off our 2023 year. This means this is our 14th season of recording weekly with Heritage Radio Network. So big shout out to HRN and Roberta's Pizza, who has been our home and studio for many years. We have a special show today. I've heard that the drinks capital of Brooklyn is an industry city, and we're with some friends here that are drink producers, and this has really become a great find. I've been in industry city since 2014 in different eras. I remember when Hometown Barbecue opened a few years ago, but now we've got this kind of drinks mecca here, which is what I love to see, and I think I'm spending my whole day here with this crew. So let's go around the room, and we're going to introduce everybody. So there's three different producers here, all doing alcohol, and we're at industry city. I'm Jimmy Carboni.
Josh Morton, Barris Intense Ginger Liqueur.
James Tai, Advanced Cicerone.
Dave Lopez, Gun Hill Brewing Company, Gun Hill Public House. Alice Clark, Fort Hamilton Distillery.
Amy Grindeland, Fort Hamilton Distillery.
This is great. I almost got lost this morning, but in the most wonderful way, ended up at Colson Patisserie, and I had great pastries and coffee, and I saw my friends at Hometown Barbecue. But I just can't believe what's happened here at Industry City. So who wants to give us a little, like, short recap of the last few years of Industry City and why I'm calling this the drinks capital of Brooklyn? Josh?
So about 10 years ago, Jamestown took over Industry City and started redeveloping it. They're the developers of Chelsea Market as well, and in Atlanta, Pond City Market. And one of their visions for our courtyard, which is Courtyard 5-6, is to, they could call it Distillery Row, but we have some great brewers here now as well, with Gun Hill and Big Alice. They have their barrel aging room here. And then there's myself, Fort Hamilton, Standard Wormwood, Brooklyn Kura, which is a Brooklyn sake brewery. And am I forgetting anybody? For now, but and we're adding new producers all the time. So it's been pretty exciting the last sort of 5 years. They've been building out this courtyard, and it gets better every week.
And tell us about barrels. I've heard about it. I've had the drink. I want to know about cold pressed ginger. Last week for the holidays, I think I made one tablespoon of grated fresh ginger, and the smell was intense, and it took a lot of work just to make one tablespoon. How and why are you doing a ginger liquor, and tell us about coming into Industry City as well?
So, I mean, how I got into it was because I wasn't smart enough to know it wasn't something someone was supposed to do, I think. It was a hobby. I actually literally was making this for friends. I would make small batch every 6 months and serve it after dinner as a digestif. And my friends really liked it, and they encouraged me to turn it into a product. About 10 years ago now, we were looking for a space to set up production, and Industry City had lots of space and was open to unusual producers. And so we started here. And we've been with them ever since, growing. We're now in 48 states. We're about to launch a cocktail nationally at P.F. Chang's. The way we make it now is almost the same way I made it in my kitchen, except it's actually better because I couldn't get the alcohol that you can get professionally for your kitchen. So I was using like Everclear, which is kind of garbage. And we use a really nice neutral cane spirit for our product. And when I was making it at home, I was just using whatever ginger I could find at the grocery store. And now we actually use two different types of ginger. We use an organic Peruvian ginger and we use a Hawaiian ginger from China. When I started this, I didn't know there were different types of ginger. There's Thai ginger, there's Brazilian ginger, there's all sorts of different gingers. And they have different flavor profiles. They have a different, the Brazilian ginger was very orangey. It was a very different color in terms of the outcome. Think different things like that. But we settled on that mix. And when you taste it, you get the front of the palate, the earthy citrus notes or that Hawaiian profile. And then that back of the palate kick, that's the organic Peruvian. And so it's an unusual case where something that was homemade was improved by making it commercially. Usually things that are made homemade are better than what you can make commercially, but in this case, I actually have A-B tested between what I used to make and what I make now, and it's definitely improved, so it's kind of cool.
Cheers to the pros, let's say that.
Yeah.
We love homebrew, we love amateurs, but just starting with better ingredients and equipment, you're definitely going to do a good product. And then what is this we're drinking? This is says Intense.
Yes, so Barra's Intense Ginger Liqueurs is what we make, and it's a ginger liqueur. It's 44 proof, so 22% alcohol. It's gluten-free, vegan, kosher. As I said, we use two different types of fresh ginger. We start with about 200 pounds of fresh ginger per batch. We do small batches. It's about a quarter pound of fresh ginger per bottle. There's no heat in our process. There's no filtration. So we sort of call it a cold press process. And we'll take that 200 pounds of fresh ginger. We trim it. We wash it. And then we grind it up in our buffalo chopper. And then it goes straight into the 190 proof neutral cane spirit. And it's all done at room temperature. There's no heat in our process, which is really important because heat definitely changes the flavors of lots of things, but especially ginger. And then we rack it like a wine, so we don't have any filtration. So the bottles are, it's cloudy, so you can actually see the fresh ginger in the bottle. And that gives it a really good shelf life as well, because there's fresh ginger in there that keeps it tasty.
So this, you know, Inner City, this is not just a place with restaurants and shops. There's makers here, and really good makers of drinks. You guys, Fort Hamilton, tell me about you. I met you guys last fall. You came out to our Pig Island event. We really love your whiskeys. Alex, you're the guy with a great accent. So give us an intro to Fort Hamilton Distillery. And you're making your spirits here, right, at Industry City?
And just to be clear, I don't have an accent. You all have accents. I got the original, the OG accent. We started producing whiskey down here. Back in 2016 at somebody else's distillery, which is called Industry City Distillery, who have been around since, and have been friends of mine since around 2012 when I got into the distilling game by launching the Widow Jane Distillery in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and having taken them through the distribution, decided to leave and forge our own path, focusing on the original whiskey style of America, which was New York rye whiskey. Those are the first whiskeys that were produced in America, and they were produced right here in Brooklyn in the 1700s, and we wanted to go back in on that style so that we could have the most authentic whiskey in America at our fingertips, and consequently make the most authentic Manhattan or Old Fashioned, which are all part of the whiskey classic cocktails of America that are based on rye whiskey originally. So we wanted to go in on that original style. So we made our original batches here at the Industry City Distillery. In 2016, we first started putting whiskey in barrels and focused on using just New York rye grain and malted barley and aging them in 30-gallon barrels. But originally, the first batch was only a year and a half old, and now we're up to almost 5 years old on our single barrel, which is our flagship whiskey. And we've expanded our product line to include bourbon and recently gin, all of which has taken its inspiration somewhat from the Revolutionary War. The gin, for example, is made with watermelons and cucumbers because the Battle of Brooklyn started one block from here in Industry City in a watermelon patch. So we kind of took our cue from that and distilled the watermelon and that history into the product. So we kind of take our cues from the Revolutionary War.
I love that. Well, cheers to you guys. First, we went from ginger liquor to a rye whiskey, as they say, liquor before beer, never fear. And we're going to end up with beer.
The rye and the ginger go really well together.
And then, Alex, just tell us what we're drinking.
So this is our single barrel rye whiskey. This is made from 90% New York State rye grain and 10% malted barley. All of that's grown in the Hudson Valley of New York. And it is aged for just under 5 years in a 30-gallon, brand-new American white oak barrel, which has been heavily charred on the inside. It has to be brand-new by law, otherwise the whiskey wouldn't qualify as a rye whiskey. So the 30-gallon size is a little bit smaller than what you would find as industry standard these days, which is 53 gallons. But those smaller-sized barrels are actually typical of what was around 200 years ago. So that's why we chose to use those barrels, to make it as authentic a recreation of that original whiskey style as possible. It's non-chill filtered. We don't, do any additional processing on the whiskey. Just do enough to take the charcoal particulates out of it, so it looks a little bit polished. But no chill filtration means bigger texture, richer mouthfeel, longer finishes, and again, I just think a more authentic whiskey style. Akin to what was around 200 years ago. The less processing, the better, I think, old school.
And then, Amy, tell us about you. You're the spirit of this distillery.
I work alongside Alex to, give him the thumbs up or the thumbs down, but I really came in when we opened our tasting room and sort of helped develop our bar program and our tour program. We offer tours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which can be booked online, or you can just walk up and enjoy. We're now open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday, from 1 to 8 and 9 p.m. on the weekends. And, we just added some pool tables up for all of us to be able to use on the second floor. We're in building 6. So, yeah, it just sort of helped to curate the experience.
Well, it's pretty great. So you're saying that we could come here and spend all day?
Absolutely. All day. All weekend.
But how does it work? I mean, I was outside in the courtyard. I got a coffee. I walked upstairs. It was Fort Hamilton Distillery. There's Gun Hill Public. I mean, this is amazing. This is like a playground for grown-ups.
It is a playground for grown-ups. It's a playground for families, too. I wish... when we had our two little ones, we had a place to come like this. So, there's ice skating down the courtyard. There's chocolate available. There's great coffee, like you said. And there's supermarkets. So you can also, get some great finds to take home with you. But you could spend a lot of time. It's a lot of fun hanging out.
Yeah, it's great. And now, Dave Lopez, I've known you for many years. Gun Hill Brewery up in the Bronx. I just heard from you that you'd opened up here in Industry City. It's really exciting. I'm really thrilled to be here. I know it was in the works for a couple of years. So welcome to Industry City.
Thank you. No, it was in the works. We actually signed our lease in fall of 2019, and we were all planned to open or get ready to open in the spring of 2020, and then we know what happened, so we kind of put everything on hold for a bit, and then sort of fast-tracked the opening and construction this summer and fall, and just opened a couple weeks ago. So it's exciting for us because we get to play around with some stuff here that we can't really do up in the Bronx, because we have a much smaller system down here, so we can experiment. We're going to be using mostly New York State ingredients, if not 100% close to it on most batches that we do. And it allows us to also entertain people that don't want to travel all the way as far north as the North Bronx, which we have a lot of people that's always been a big sticking point, is getting to us. And so now we're in a different part of the city that people can come and enjoy everything that we have to offer, both from the Bronx and from here.
Wow. So, my first thought when I'm here at Industry City, I want to try everything. It seems like the customers here are fairly sophisticated.
Yeah, so far it definitely seems that way. I mean, you're not going to come and experience all the different offerings here if you don't know what you're looking for. And so I think the easiest path would be to just come and try a generic beer or whatever. But like, for example, here, the first keg that we kicked when we opened was a smoked Helles Lager. And that definitely takes a sophisticated palate to enjoy that beer. And that was the very first keg that we kicked when we opened here. So to me, that's a sign that there is a pretty sophisticated palate and that people are willing to go and try a ginger liqueur and then also come and try a different style of beer than they can find on their grocery store shelves.
And James, your advanced sister own James Tai. I mean, I love that. I meandered and found my way here. The second floor, you're next to Fort Hamilton Distillery, and here's Gun Hill Public. And it's one of the most pleasant brewery tasting rooms I've been to in New York. So you as an advanced cicerone, what would you tell our listeners about this great setup?
Well, to me, I think it's like the most amazing looking brewery tap room that I've ever seen in my life. I'm not biased.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I had a lot to do with the vision of the space. Wanted to see it as a modern interpretation of an English pub, not at all influenced by Alex whatsoever, our neighbors at Fort Hamilton. But it's got some design elements which really kind of hard to, you know, looking at the Bronx, there are pieces that really kind of let you know that you are in Brooklyn. And there are all the elements that kind of make you feel really comfortable. And I think with all due respect to a lot of brewery tap rooms out there, there isn't that level of comfort that you might expect when you walk into a tap room, and that's something that we kind of want to offer here at Industry City.
Yeah, I mean, that was a major focal point, is to have it to be someplace where, as you said, you could come and spend a lot of time. And so we haven't been able to experience it yet because we opened in December, but we have an outdoor bar too, that when it's warm out, we can roll up our window and we have an indoor-outdoor bar just like Fort Hamilton does. So we have this catwalk up here that should be a great hangout place. And you can go up and down. And if you don't want to just hang out here, you can go right down the stairs to Barrows because they're literally right below us. So you can literally walk between it and just spend an afternoon going back and forth, taking turns where you're going to drink from. So we wanted to make sure that you felt comfortable to be able to enjoy that experience.
What if I want to get something from like a pastrami sandwich at Hometown Barbecue? Then can I come up here and eat that and have drinks with you guys?
You can sit at our bar and take a QR code off of the menu and have it delivered to you by Hometown right here. So we're working on that with a couple other of the stores that are in here, the restaurants that are in here. But you can do that certainly at Fort Hamilton too. And you're welcome to bring from any place in the food court or anywhere else over here as well. We don't discriminate.
Wow. And what do you guys think? You know, this distillery, brewery, you know, little mecca of drinks, the lifestyle. Alex, I mean, is this paradise for you?
It is. It is, absolutely. You know, you can go from one oasis to another with all sorts of variation. And you're not going to run out of anything to do or taste if you come down here for an afternoon or even a weekend. I think what's fun is that a lot of these businesses are very complementary to each other. So, you know, the beer and the whiskey goes together. The whiskey and the ginger goes together. Everything goes together with barbecue. We're having a lot of fun collaborating with people too. I think there's hoping we're going to get some barrel aging conversations going with Gun Hill at some point as well.
We have a whole stack of Fort Hamilton barrels sitting here that we just have to get a couple of beers in the works so that we can serve them on tap, and then the next batches are going in there so that we can have a product for a few months from now that we'll do a big release event here, which will be fun.
Okay, so for beer that we're drinking, we had one beer. It's your amber?
Yeah, it's called Livewire. It's our new amber ale. It's lightly dry hopped with some Cascade and Chinook, so it's a little bit more bitter on the back end, so it's almost like we wanted to make a traditional amber ale, but also have something that a little homage to everybody that's into the hops and a little bit more into the old school West Coast style hops that were out there. And this is actually one of the first beers that Max, our old but new brewer, just did with his own recipe up there, not any beer that we've done previously. So I think he actually crushed it with this beer. He did a really, really great job, and we're hoping to see more of this out there in the world soon.
James, you wanted to talk through the amber ale?
Yeah, definitely. I think from a sensorial perspective you get from the malt. There's a big, almost like a Brock's caramel butterscotch kind of note to it. Not terribly cloying, but it's definitely very prominent. And I think it's balanced out by, again, Dave was talking about the Cascade hop. So there's like a little element of orange blossom, maybe some grapefruit that's coming through. And what it was, Chinook, right? Yeah, and so you get a little bit of kind of herbal zestiness as well. So it's a nice melange of different flavors, and it makes for a very enjoyable drink.
Hey, Gun Hill's come a long way. I remember when you first started up in the Bronx, you know, you had your export stout, you had the Skyler Wheat, a few other, and you also tied into history as well, right? So there's a common theme.
There's a common theme, and the name Gun Hill came from the American Revolution because of the Battle of Gun Hill right down the road from where the brewery in the Bronx is. So originally, all the beers that we did were named after something to do with the revolution, whether it was battles or people. And our original branding was 100% from the American Revolution. It's since moved a little bit more towards a Bronx or New York City-centric branding, but a lot of the elements are still there. And a lot of the original beers and the original names are either still around or making a comeback soon in the next year or so.
Amy, how does Gun Hill fit in with you guys? They're right next door to Fort Hamilton Distillery.
Well, we've been working together since the beginning to support each other. You know, when people come in, not everybody likes whiskey, believe it or not. So it's nice to have a partner that we can just send people down the hall. We can enjoy each other's drinks in each other's spaces. There's an open liquor license here, so you can actually go down to Barrows and bring a drink up into Fort Hamilton. And I think we all support each other. That's the best thing that I have found about being at Industry City, whether it's just the distillers and brewers, right down to the food makers. We all work together and we collaborate a lot with each other. So it's a family of innovators, and it's a joy to come to work because I think I might just be going for a snack and I come back with the whole inspiration to do something else.
You know, I was at Colson Patisserie. I saw a bottle of Fort Hamilton maple syrup, Alex.
Yeah, that was a project that we took on in during the pandemic. We searched high and low for the best maple syrup producer in New York. Found him in the Catskill Mountains, just outside of Grahamsville. And as I was saying earlier, one of the rules to making rye whiskey or bourbon whiskey is that you have to use a brand new barrel each time you fill it with your unaged distillate. And so that's great because you get a lot of flavor and a lot of color coming out of the barrel. So, you know, all bourbons and ryes tend to have no additional color added to them because it's all coming naturally from the wood. But the downside of that is that A, it's a little bit more expensive to make your product, and B, you end up with a barrel that you can't reuse to make more whiskey in. So you have to come up with a secondary use, or you have to just trash it, which would be very wasteful because they're beautiful products that still have a lot of flavor left in them because they still have whiskey soaked into the wood that the barrel's constructed from. So coming up with interesting ways to reuse the barrels is kind of fun and a decent creative exercise. One of the uses is obviously given to beer producers to age stouts in or some beefier styles of beer, which can handle a little bit of whiskey exposure. And another way is to fill them with maple syrup, apparently. It makes it super tasty. So that's what we did. So we aged this organic maple syrup from the Catskill Mountains in the whiskey barrels, bourbon barrels specifically, for around 6 to 7 months. Interestingly, you would think because maple syrup is wet that it would maintain the integrity and structure of the barrel well as it hydrates it. But because of the sugar content of the maple syrup, it actually dehydrates the barrel, so they end up starting to leak. And as soon as they start to leak, we dump the maple syrup out and bottle it up. And at which point, it's picked up beautiful color and beautiful flavor from the barrel. And it has an incredible marriage between the whiskey and the maple, which are very We use the maple syrup for the base for one of our cocktails too at the tasting room, which is our maple old fashioned, which is all New York ingredients. We use our New York rye whiskey. We use our organic New York maple syrup from the Catskill Mountains, and we're using black walnut bitters from Fee Brothers in Rochester, New York. And it's a beautiful marriage of flavors. We've got walnut, maple, rye whiskey. What's not to love? You know. As a nod to the collaborative efforts of everyone, all the creatives down here, the Hometown Barbecue is actually carrying a barrel-aged version of the old-fashioned, maple old-fashioned, starting next week. So it's a lot of fun to play with the local guys.
Oh, that's great. And Josh, like, you've been here for a while. Just tell us more about Industry City and maybe the mixology that you're doing with ginger liqueur.
So we were one of the first tasting rooms to open. I think Big Alice had opened and Brooklyn Kerr was here, but we were the first distillery. And because we make our ginger liqueur, our stuff mixes with everything. And as a New York tasting room, we're allowed to sell any other New York State distilled spirit made with at least 75% New York agriculture. Little geeky there. And so our tasting room actually has the largest collection of other New York State spirits anywhere in the state. So we have over 200 other New York State spirits. We have like 25 gins, 15 vodkas, I don't know, 60, 70 whiskeys, and a bunch of brandies and other liqueurs and things like that, and random stuff that other distillers make. It's about 40 other New York State distilleries. So you can come in, and it's very unusual because we're a tasting room. You can actually have a flight of whiskey and then go home with your favorite bottle. And in most places, when you get a flight of whiskey, you can't actually get a bottle at the same time. So it's sort of a unique experience, and it's really cool. Same with Fort Hamilton. You can come in and you can try all their spirits and then leave with a bottle to take home with you, which is kind of a unique aspect of tasting rooms. So that's one of the things that's exciting when you come to Industry City. It's not just, oh, I'm going out for a drink. We make amazing cocktails. In the summer, we crush it with our frozen mules. But you also can learn about spirits, and you can definitely stock up your home liquor cabinet. So
do you, if I say liquor before beer, never fear, because I can drink beer all night. Is that a good way to start when I come to Industry City?
I'm a little biased on that, but I would say that's a good way to go for sure. And then you know, sort of wind down at the end with some beer.
And then just in barrel aging, we got so much good stuff in front of us. We have a lot more to talk about, but Dave, tell me about you said there's a barrel-aged stout that we're drinking.
Yes, this is an imperial stout that we brewed last year, and then we aged it for the past year in Kings County Distillery bourbon barrels. We just released this, and this is also going to be featured next weekend at our barrel-aged beer festival up in the Bronx that we have, where we have 20 other breweries coming and pouring beer. And maybe a distillery coming. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, good.
That's more than a rumor at this point.
Okay, good. So this is it's really subtle. I think today is actually the first time that I'm having it on draft. I'll let James talk more about the description of the beer if he wants. But it's really really subtle. I get a lot more of the bourbon on the back end than anything on the nose and then on the back end. But it's really really nice and drinkable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I'm going to talk about it from that perspective, I pick up certainly notes of Belgian chocolate, a little bit of cocoa powder, and again, with the bourbon barrel aging, you know, you're picking up some of those peachy coconut notes, and very subtle, but really, really nice.
So sometimes when I've had some barrel aged beers over the past, I feel like they lose the beer, and they're not always drinkable. This one is. There's a fine line. Is there a fine line in barrel aging, James? You want to talk a little bit more about barrel aging because we're here with whiskey barrels and small brewery.
Right. I think Alex would probably be a better person to ask about it, but there certainly is a fine line, but everything is pretty specific. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. There's there's certainly an art to aging and knowing when to pull. I think it's, you know, much like if you're in the kitchen and you're a chef, you really got to taste everything. And same thing, you know, with cooperage and your barrels, you know, you got to see where that liquid stands at that point in time.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio out here at Industry City.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush, green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. This is our first show of 2023. We're kicking off at the Drinks Mecca of Brooklyn in Industry City with Gun Hill Public, Fort Hamilton Distillery, and Barrows Intense Ginger Liquor. I'm Jimmy Carboni. A big shout out to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. It's our 14th season, and you can always support, become a member at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. So there's a great collaborative spirit out here at Industry City. Gun Hill is, we're drinking a bourbon barrel aged stout, and Alex from Fort Hamilton just about to tell us about the subtleties of using barrels and aging, and you know they use it for their maple syrup. Now they've also got other things in the works.
Yes, that's true. So yeah, I think it's a lot about balance, but you've got to remember that barrels are organic things. You know, what they contained previously has a direct bearing on the flavor that's going to impart in whatever you put in there next. So, for instance, for the maple syrup that we age from Catskill Mountains, we deliberately age in bourbon barrels, not rye whiskey barrels, although we have obviously access to both. And the barrels that we use are, because we make the whiskey, extremely fresh. So we know that they have liquid in them. We know that that's going to impart a decent amount of flavor into whatever comes into it next. So in the case of maple syrup, we wanted to add more bourbon flavor to the maple syrup than rye flavor to the maple syrup. Rye's a bit more savory in style. Bourbon's a little sweeter, always a bit more vanilla-y. And it felt like that addition of that flavor to the maple syrup would be complementary more so than the addition of a rye barrel finish to the maple syrup, which would be a bit more peppery and a bit more spicy and a little bit more savory. That being said, when we I've refilled the maple syrup barrel, having emptied it of maple syrup, I refilled it with rye whiskey because I felt like a little spin of sweetness onto the savory, peppery edge of the rye whiskey would be more complementary than the addition of bourbon into and the addition of sweetness to the bourbon. So I guess in my head, that all made sense, you know? But I think the point being, like what James said, is like it's kind of up to the chef, right? And what part of the fun of building your own flavor factory is that you get to make these decisions and you can play around with it. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're not.
So Alex is the flavor factory guru over here. And Dave, you've got some great people. I mean, over the years, you've had so many different great brewers at Gun Hill. Tell us about who's brewing here at Gun Hill Public with you.
So we have Jeff Lyons brewing down here. Jeff was working with us up in the Bronx for a bit, and now he's moved down here to be a little bit closer to his brand, Endless Life. So Jeff is really into New York State ingredients, so it was sort of a natural fit to have him move down here when we opened up. And it also afforded us the opportunity to bring back Max Balkin up to the Bronx, who was one of our very first employees eight and a half years ago. So it was great to have Max back and also be able to bring Jeff and utilize his talents down here.
We're definitely going to be talking a lot about local malt, local ingredients in 2023. And it's so exciting for me that you have Jeff Lyons here, because we're going to do a show with him this winter. I know that Jeff, and then also over at Strong Rope, Jason Saylor, definitely two of the biggest advocates for New York ingredients.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, what Jason has done since he's opened has been incredible, just to see the growth. And also, he's sort of been a pioneer for the rest of us to sort of test and see which producers are the ones that we all want to buy from. And so he's sort of been the guinea pig for everybody. And so he's been able to really nail everything down and has been such a big champion of it all that it makes it easier for us to know what to do.
I mean, gosh, you know, hops and malt have come so far in the last 10 years. But you guys opened, you were one of the first, you had a farm distillery license in the Bronx. How far has it come, and where are we at in terms of, like, the percentages of New York ingredients and all that?
We're still at only 60%, and that's actually just been extended for another couple of years. But I think that when the bill was first passed and it was 25%, and then with the expectation that it was going to get to 60 after a few years, I think everyone was terrified about what was going to happen when that 60% number came around, because, number one, they weren't sure about whether a quantity was going to be available, but also what the quality was going to be like, because truth be told, 10 years ago when this bill was passed, the quality wasn't really there, particularly on the hop side of things. And I think one of the benefits is that you now, like 10 years ago, you never would have seen a New York IPA that anybody would want to drink. And now Jason does a revolving series of IPAs with different New York State hops that are really, really enjoyable and drinkable, and something that you would put up against with hops grown from other parts of the country. So that's a big feather in the producers' caps and the growers' caps, I think, for New York State.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think the big part about it, too, is it's... I think success, you know, has... You have to pat each other on the back. So the producers, you know, the suppliers, the maltsters, the hop growers, they're not going to really get better unless, you know, we as breweries are able to kind of support their endeavor. And in turn, you know, once they get better, they'll help us make better beer as well. So it's a nice, it's, you know, in the spirit of Industry City, it's very collaborative, and there's a partnership there that we have to respect.
That's great. And Josh, you had also mentioned it. So you're a New York State distillery?
Yeah. So, I mean... So we have a farm license, and we have done, pre-COVID, we were doing monthly tasting room takeovers, and we do collaborations with other New York State distillers. So we did one with Black Button up in Rochester, the guys from Finger Lakes Distilling, Colin from Kings County came out. We did stuff with Standard Wormwood, who's also at Industry City, who else did we work with? A few other folks. Do Good Spirits Prohibition Distilling up in Roscoe, New York, up in the Catskills. So we did gin with them. So we did some cool stuff there. And we're actually talking with Gun Hill. We're real excited, actually. They're our newest neighbor, and they're great. We love them. Back to your naming about stuff, Fort Todd Conderoga is my favorite of your brews. Shout out to that. It's a good name too. And we're
sounds like all the summer vacations I took when I was a little kid.
You wouldn't have been drinking this beer during your summer vacation, because this is a rum barrel aged barley wine. So it definitely was not a summer beer.
So we actually are talking about doing a collaboration with them on a Ginger Ghost, I think is what we are thinking we're going to come up with. We're not quite sure yet, but yeah, so excited about that. Yeah.
And then for you guys, I mean, beer's collaboration, whiskey's collaboration, I mean, how far does collaboration have to go? Like, you've got a great brewing here at Gun Hill Public and Industry City. You know, is collaborations and beer still, like, interesting to people? I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I think, you know, one of the big things for us up in the Bronx was that we have such a big brewing system that we can't really play around too much, because if you're wrong, you've got a lot of beer that you've got to find a way to move. Whereas here, we can do a ton more collaborating on stuff that people in other places have been able to do that we were always curious about but never truly able to. And so the idea of a Ginger Goes up in the Bronx would have been a very tough sell, because we're like, okay, if we're wrong on this, how are we going to distribute that product? But if we do it here, well, and it's successful, then we can scale it up and do it bigger up in the Bronx. So this is a great little stepping stone for us too here.
What size is your system here?
Here it's 2.5 pounds.
Oh, that's sweet. I'm laughing because I love it. It seems like we're coming back to what a craft beer was all about. You said it's horrible, James?
No, I said it's adorable.
But you're right. You know, in many ways, I guess innovation comes from being able to experiment and to have a smaller system and have the ability to really kind of push boundaries and get creative about it is something we definitely embrace.
And just, you know, to talk about collaborating with our other neighbors, like, if we were going to take their barrels and do something in the Bronx, it would 99% be a stout problem. Whereas here, we can do some stout, we can push the boundaries a little bit too, because the barrels are here and we know between our two places we can find something to do with them no matter what. So it's cool to be able to have this smaller scale operation that allows us to be even more collaborative and really have fun with these barrels and the product that's going into the barrels.
So wow, so you could, for example, do a Ginger Goes with barrels. Now, Alex, you know, my true native speaker, who seems to know more about the New York State ingredients than anyone I've met so far. What's your ultimate beer to drink with your rye? And, yeah, let's get you talking beer.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have been known to drink a few beers in my time. That's true. I'm a man of simple pleasures. I think a nice crisp Pilsner alongside a little shot of whiskey is a nice way to go. Maybe even a lager. I'll go there. There isn't really a wrong beer to have next to your whiskey, just to let you know. Maybe I wouldn't do a white beer, you know. Maybe nothing Belgian like that. Although the banana bread could be an interesting complement to the whiskey. But I just like if it's a beer and a shot situation, I go for something light and crisp, and Pilsner, a lager. I did try actually the smoked lager that you guys made the other day. That was a fine complement. Yeah, a little bit of smokiness. Go with whiskey. Absolutely.
Davey's smiling.
I was just smiling because it's a love-hate beer. And it's not for me, but a lot of people, like I said, that was the first beer that we kicked down here. So it just shows the exploration that people have when they come down to Brooklyn and Industry City.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think we try and make delicious products, but, you know, there's something for everyone, I think, in our portfolio. But what's interesting is when we go out and do tastings in liquor stores that we do most weeks, someone will come up and say, hey, I love your bourbon, I don't like your rye. And the next person will come up and be, I like your rye, don't like your bourbon. You know, I think it just goes to show that everyone's palate is unique. And it's good to have a nice array of products to be able to satisfy everyone with something.
It's like the U.S. Congress, this healthy conversation's happening all the time with hate and no hate. But talk about drinking, just beer and shot. I love that, because when I think about, I love a good beer, and when I think of a really good spirit, I just want to have it neat with my drink more than anything else. Josh?
Well, so to carry on that exploration thing, I mean, that's one of the things that I love about the flights that we do is we do a Whiskey 101. And I didn't know anything about whiskey when I got into this. And what I realized was, you know, bourbon and rye and single malts are all very sort of different spirits. And just because you like one doesn't mean you're like another. And I'm not a big bourbon guy. And I was at an event, a bourbon event, drinking Pappy others, you know, with all the best bourbons, and I wasn't happy with any of them. And I was like, what's wrong here? And then I had a single malt, I had a rye, and I was like, ooh, I like that. And so what I realized was that, you know, for whiskeys, for me, I like ryes and I like single malts, but I don't like bourbons. But I know other people can't stand a single malt, can't stand a rye, but love their bourbons. And so one of the things that's great about, you know, what we do is really try and educate people on those different spirits. Same with gins. You know, we do two different gin flights. We do an intro to gin and an advanced gin flight. And some people, like Alex's gin is amazing, but it's not your traditional gin. And so if you're used to that really, you know, juniper heavy, you know, English style, you know, dry gin, and you don't like that, well, and you try Alex's gin, it's completely different. You probably will love his gin. And if you but really like that English dry juniper heavy gin, you're probably not going to like his gin. So it's one of those things where that's one of the great things about coming out to Industry City is you have so many different things you can experience. You can really educate yourself on the different palates and learn what works for you, what doesn't, and then take it from there.
James, our advanced cicerone, the Industry City beer and shot, what would that special be? What Gun Hill beer and what spirit?
Be careful, Jimmy, because you might be foreshadowing an event that we might be planning here. So
really? So what I will say, yeah, without giving away any ghosts, I'll go in the other direction, and I'll give you a cautionary tale. I think this was probably about 15, 18 years ago. Certainly, I've been, you know, beer has been a big part of my life, you know my adult life. And I've really kind of appreciated all different libations. But I was with my cousin, and we were at a bar in the Lower East Side. I can't remember the name of it, but it was right off of Attorney. And we, for some reason, we decided we wanted to do some kind of artisanal Boilermaker. And so our combination was a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is a classic. I love that beer. It's one of my favorites. And I had a shot of Maker's Mark with that, which is a fine, you know, it's a fine drink, and I like it on its own. The two together is a very, very poor idea. I'll just say it at least. So
I'm on the same page as you. So what's the winner? What would my Industry City beer and shot combo be?
Well, you might just have to come to InterCity in a few months, and you know we'll have that conversation then at an event, perhaps.
He won't give it away. All right, you guys, back to the bar. I'm going into the bar at Fort Hamilton. I want my beer and a shot.
Beer?
Let's say that we'll start with the amber. The Gun Hill Amber is a simple, nice little crispness, simple amber ale. What of your whiskeys would I just want to drink with that?
That's a good question. Just tasting it now, it's delicious. It's got a little sweetness, a little maltiness to it. I think a good foil for that would be probably the single barrel rye, just because it has a nice kind of chocolatey note to it that would pair well with the maltiness of this beer. It's a little drier in style, a little more austere than a bourbon would be. So I think that savoriness would pair well with the slight sweetness of this malty amber that we have here. So yeah, give us some single barrel. We do 1 ounce pours, 2 ounce pours of every product we make. We also do flights, so you can taste all five of our core lineup, including the maple syrup and the amber, a little sweet treat. So yeah, you could taste through it all and make your own decision.
I'm a big fan of rye. We're going to be here on February 22nd, Wednesday night, doing a low-key rye, slow grains mixer with some taste of cassoulet, because beans are also a staple crop, with some cool friends from Glenwood and Heritage Radio Network. And we're putting that up probably when the show's live. Davey, thanks for hosting that. But back to your bar. We're going to wrap it up with Fort Hamilton Bar. So rye, I love rye. I think rye is a great American and a New York whiskey in the last few years. Different iterations and different small producers have been really turning me on to rye whiskeys. Rye whiskeys, the cocktails that you're serving, and again, you, Amy, do you want us to tell us a little bit about your bar program and how that works? Are you only selling your own spirits?
We do serve all of Fort Hamilton spirits. We do use some other New York products. For instance, we make Negroni, and we use the Faccio Brutto and the Method Sweet Vermouth. So we do support all New York brands. But yeah, we have our whiskeys. We also have our gin. We have vodka. And, you know, we can't grow agave here in New York. But what we can do is Alex has been playing around with some smoked poblanos and sort of making an infused vodka. So we actually have a little spicy Rita. But my favorite part of being at the tasting room is to watch people taste the gin, because it's a love or a hate spirit. And a lot of people have that one night that they all remember. But this is a real citrus forward gin, and it's sunshine in a bottle. And so people sort of start out with hesitation and end up with a smile 9 times out of 10. So yeah, we have a full cocktail program, and like I said, we serve New York beers and New York wines. So there's something for everyone.
Go to rye cocktail.
Definitely the maple old fashioned. Doesn't get any better, and it's our New York maple old fashioned. So I like to see that people don't consider themselves, or really just hadn't really been exposed to rye and thought about it. I mean, you know, just Josh made that point, and to see people sort of taste it, it's a really smooth. It has a sweetness that comes from the oak, and it's a beautiful experience. And to see people say, "Oh, I never knew I was a rye drinker." But I am now.
And then gin, the whatever American gin that really turned me on to craft gin was Bar Hill Gin. Whenever that first came to New York, 8-10 years ago, and maybe 12-13 years ago, I was in Amsterdam at a little bar that actually one of their friends had a very small distillery. It was making old fashioned Geneva, but also other small distillates from other different ingredients. I don't know. Are you familiar with some of that, the true kind of gins?
Yeah. Hanover is the original gin style of the planet. And it was coming out of Holland. It was made with grain spirit. It wasn't neutral spirit, though, so it still carries a lot of the flavor of the cereal grain along with it. Oftentimes, they would barrel age it. So it would really kind of blur the lines between what we know now as gin, London dry style, and now New World International style gins, and whiskey, because it has that cereal note. It was aged in a barrel. It kind of blurs the lines. Over the years, England became like the powerhouse for gin on the planet, and they made a London dry style, which was made with neutral spirit, which is effectively like vodka, something that's flavorless and odorless, which you're then layering layers of flavor on top of, which the predominant note has to be juniper. The London dry styles, of course, only use 7 botanicals, so they all taste pretty similar. And they all lean in very heavily on juniper. They all have a piney, kind of woody note to them. We, you know, being in America, we felt like we didn't want to do that. We certainly celebrated the Revolutionary War, somewhat ironically, because I'm English. But we certainly didn't want to make a London dry style. We're in America.
It's all our history now, bro.
Exactly. So we wanted to lean away from that and into a much more citrus forward style using ingredients that are available to us in America. So freshly peeled lemons, limes, and oranges go into the gin. And it's great if you happen to be here on a day we're distilling. It smells fabulous. You know, we'll be peeling that fruit for a couple of hours before we distill it. And it smells like the most amazing citrus bomb. And then we use cucumbers and watermelons because when the British were marching north from Fort Hamilton up to through Gowanus to try and beat up the American revolutionaries, they found the Red Lion Inn, which was right here just down the road where the Gates of Greenwood Cemetery are, surrounded by a watermelon patch, and started stealing the watermelons. And that's how the first shots of the Battle of Brooklyn rung out when they were captured, when they were caught stealing the watermelons, sorry. So we distill watermelon into it to keep the revolutionary vibe going. Cucumbers is a part of it too. Cinnamon, star anise, juniper, coriander rounds it out. But it's definitely not a London dry style. It's sweeter. It's made with New York corn as the base. So it has a richer texture to it and a slightly sweeter underpinning. And the juniper, we lead into spicy notes of it. We don't lead into the woody, piney notes of it. So we cut the distillation off before it gets into that flavor. So, it's a pretty precise gin, very clean, fresh. It makes a fantastic cocktail. We do an incredible watermelon Negroni with it during the summer here. We do an incredible bee's knees, which has the freshness and juiciness of watermelon and cucumber running through it, along with the honey and lemon. It's fabulous. Got to try one.
Davey did a nice job putting the show together. Originally, it was Josh, Amy, and you, and then this quiet guy named Alex showed up. So we really got the full flavor. Events coming up right now. We got February 22nd, a rye, Cassoulet, Slow Grains People mixer thing here at Gun Hill Public. May 27th, I'll be in the courtyard out back at Industry City with Rib King NYC with Blues Bands. That's in the works. You guys are going to do an Industry City beer and shot thing. And then one day you're going to tell me whenever you guys are brewing or distilling, because I'm going to start coming for an olfactory tour. Sounds like the best smells in New York are happening when you guys are brewing stuff, right? It's going to be crazy. So to wrap it up, a quick question. Who has a question for another? Josh, did you ever have a question for Davey when he was first opening?
I asked a question for
Josh. Oh, you did, but not. Is this about like drips and... No, locked doors. You got the inside stuff. I, you know, the inside thing is like, yeah, there's doors and bathrooms and shared spaces. What was your question for Josh?
No, it's just more like, how do you, when you're determining what kind of cocktails you're going to make for everybody, how are you deciding which of the New York spirits that you're going to use? Like, especially when you have such a wide variety per style.
So, I mean, that's really...
That's a really hard question, because
yeah.
you've got so many friends and so many favors to do, right?
Well, so, I mean, that's actually how we ended up with having 200 spirits in our tasting room, because I'm on the New York Distilling Guild board now, but I've been a member for a long time. So I'm friends with everybody, so I couldn't just bring in, you know, Brian's gin without pissing off Kevin. So I ended up in, you know, next thing I knew, I had 25 gins and I had, you know, 60 whiskeys. So I just sort of went with everybody. And then in terms of who we use in a cocktail, it comes down to a couple of things. I mean, some people make spirits that are a little more affordable for cocktails, and other people are making sort of more you know, expensive stuff, so that doesn't quite lend itself to cocktailing. So that's one of them. The other thing is they're just different flavor profiles. So it depends on what we're looking for our cocktails and for that menu at the time. And we use, you know, we have about a 10 cocktails on our menu right now. It's usually what we rotate through. And we will rotate through the different New York-based spirits, give everybody as much love as we can. We try and spread it out as much as we can, and don't play favorites too much. So that's one way to do it. It's a tricky mix, I gotta say. And shout out to our tasting room manager, Alex, a different Alex, Alex Haskell, who manages that tightrope very, very elegantly.
Oh, that's a good one. And Amy, any last words about balancing out the tasting room? Perhaps our rye or bourbon or any other styles of whiskey on the rise for popularity of the cocktails?
Well, right now we just released, actually, we've been aging in those bourbon barrel age. We actually have a Madeira that we just released. And we also have been reutilizing the maple syrup barrels. And we put some rye in there. So it's a six-year-old rye. And you can come in and have a pour of that and take a bottle home with you. It's a limited release. So always good fun.
Yeah, we also have a signature cocktail on the menu called the Liberty or Death, which is the rallying cry of Alexander Hamilton's Hearts of Open Militia. We used a cask strength rye in that one, which is kind of unique. Like, only if you were making the stuff would you do something as ridiculous as that. So we use cask strength rye. We make our own house chai syrup with cardamom, cinnamon, clove, maybe kudos for making that, and that makes an incredible deep, rich, and strong cocktail.
And I'll be coming out on the 4th of July. Alex is going to wear a tri-corner hat and celebrate the revolution.
And a bayonet.
I've got a musket and a bayonet in the distillery, just in case anyone gets out of control.
It's not real. Just
you guys, this is awesome. Thanks so much for joining me here. Davey, any last words?
No, just come down to Industry City and check out everything that all of us have to offer. You can really spend a lot of time down here and enjoy yourself.
Well, big thanks to Dave, James, Josh, Amy, and Alex. We're over here at the Mecca of Drinks in Brooklyn, Industry City. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks for joining us on Heritage Radio Network. It's our first episode of 2023, and we'll catch you next week on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Woo! Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaili, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.